chapter 5. Ephesians is simply about the church. Chapters 1 through 3 is simply about the calling of God's church, His assembly, His people. Ephesians 4 and following is then about the conduct of His people. And you can see this. It's expressed in various ways. In 4 through 6, the conduct of God's people, but there's one term that recurs over and over again, and when the Bible repeats something, it's trying to get your attention. When you want to learn something, very few people have a photographic memory. Anybody have one? I do. It comes out all overexposed and dark. Very few have a photographic memory. So God, to teach His people, repeats. Look how God has repeated what chapters 4 through 6 are about. In chapter 4, verse 1, walk in a manner worthy. In 4:17, don't walk like others do. Not only is it there, but the term walk occurs again. In 5:8, I was getting there. Some of these are circled, 5:8. Walk as children of light. 5:15, walk wisely. Walk is repeated over and over. So the Bible is saying, once you become a part of the assembly, the group of Jesus, we must be concerned with our walk. He's also addressed it in another way that we talked about. Put on and put off. It's various pictures that the Bible will give us that God cares about our walk. This last 3 weeks on Friday, I have gotten knee shots. I did it to myself. I started running years ago because of the stress of grad school and the impossibility of working with certain professors who demanded absolute perfection. I had one professor that if I didn't give him his answer to a question or problem that had a variety of solutions, and didn't give him his answer, he would lower your grade. Drove me nuts. Started figuring out what was I going to do with all the stress, so I began to run. 1983. Where were you in 1983? So I ran. At first, in my youth, I didn't think I needed good running shoes. So I ran with cheap Kmart special running shoes. I could afford them. And I didn't know it, but my knees began to take the pounding from the concrete I ran on. But I will say one thing. Back in 1983, they stopped for pedestrians. When Sandy and I got back in 1997 to California, we left in 86, mid-86, came back in 1997, they declared open warfare on all pedestrians in the crosswalk or otherwise. So I was running again in California, and the freedom I had to step into the crosswalk wasn't. And I was having people literally try to hit me. So I was running again for another 18 years in California. And I began to notice in the last couple years, Sandy kept telling me, you better quit doing that. You're going to ruin your knees. And I kept saying, you know how you are when you're stupid, thinking that that... I kept running until one day I began to realize something was terribly wrong with my knees. And Hatmaker got knee surgery, and you ain't seen a chicken until you've seen me. So I didn't want to go get, so they have this thing where they put the puffy lip stuff. You know the ladies that get the puffy lip? They put it in your knee because that's what's in your knee. For the last 3 weeks, I've had this long of it. I look. The second time I decided to look. Man, that's a long needle. Because they have to go from here all the way behind into here. Now, some of you have faced stuff that is much tougher, but I'm a chicken. So that's a big needle to me. I know some of you would say, forget you. Okay, I understand that. But for me, And they put those needles in. And I will say, thank the Lord. After the third round, I no longer have stiffness. I used to get in the car and drive somewhere. And when I got out, literally, it was so stiff in here, I couldn't move. And it made it very difficult for me to walk. And I'm hoping that at least that stiffness will stay. They have to do it every 6 months to keep the stiffness away. But I remember my years. I don't think I'll be able to run anymore, but I'll be glad to walk. That there were many times in which, while I was running, I fall flat on my face. You don't do it at an intersection. That's where I remember how embarrassing it was to be coming up to an intersection, and in California, because of the ground falling and rising, you want to get scared though? Let me tell you, illustration, this guy on was showing that out in Salton Sea and in Arizona, formerly dead volcanoes are now giving off carbon dioxide. You can see it. There's a volcano from space. In California, and all of a sudden this big wisp of CO2 goes across it like something's percolating. Anyway, if I ran and took my eyes off of what I was doing, plus being pigeon-toed, I was falling at times flat on my face. The nice thing is I could go like this and kept myself, but everybody, look at that dork over there falling flat, right at the thing. And I started thinking about that as Paul kept saying, walk, walk, walk. And it began to, that illustration here begins to make me realize, when you walk, have you ever thought about, we do it. We learned it when we were children. 1 year of age, we learned to walk. When you learn, you consciously had to become aware of your walk. You just don't remember. Now, suppose I ask somebody, anybody willing to come up here and you let me use them as an illustration? Of what? You guys don't. Willie, thank you. Willie, what I want you to do is come up here. Okay, what I want you to do is close your eyes. Don't look. Start walking.
By the way, I'm in blood thinner.
All right, you get that idea. If you're not watching where you're walking, what's he afraid he's going to do?
I might fall.
Okay. But we've become totally unaware that when we're walking, we're actually watching Now what I want you to do is look up and try to walk. He took his eyes off of where he's walking. We don't realize it. That's good enough. I don't want the blood thinner.
I'm hypertensive.
Now, don't walk where you're walking. Watch the crowd. Watch them. Now start walking. Just watch the crowd.
Step there.
Okay. Thank you, Willie. Thank you. Are you lost your ever-loving mind, preacher? What Willie just showed you was when you walk, if you don't place the full concentration on your own walk, you're going to get messed up. So when Paul says, walk, 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 it's very easy for all of us to look at Willie to see how Willie's walking. But if Willie wants to walk right, Willie can't look up, can't close his eyes or look at you. You don't realize it, but every time you walk, you're watching yourself. To walk right, you have to watch you. But what do religious people do? They want to watch someone else. And when they watch someone else, they're not walking. They're not watching where they're walking. So the first point of this is walk, 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 walk is saying you, pay attention to your own walk. Don't be hard on the other guy, because when you're hard on the other person, you're not watching where you're walking. And religious people love to criticize other religious people. But that's not what he's saying, and you're not walking right if you're watching everybody else. So he says, walk in love, verse 5:1. He goes into how that walk is, or if you want the other illustration, how you come dressed for church. We don't need a grocery list. Walk in love. Don't walk in greed or impurity, immorality, filthiness. You know we've been through all of this. No use going through the grocery. But the only one that's going to really know if you're doing that is not you looking at someone else. You'll fall. It's to look at you. Only you know how good of a walker you are. No one else. And then he warns that God is watching the walk. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, God's anger comes upon the sons of disobedience. God cares how you walk. Don't look at the other person. God wants you to watch your walk. Therefore, do not be, verse 7, partakers with them. Don't walk like an Egyptian. By the way, Al and Alice aren't here this morning. I just thought about that. There was a song, Walk Like an Egyptian. Well, don't walk like the world. Watch your own walk, because you're an expert on how you walk. Walk as children, verse 8, of the light. By the way, you ever try to walk? I forgot. Wednesday night, thanks to Sean A., after prayer meeting, I had to go use the restroom back here, and they had turned out the choir, and everybody had turned out all the lights in this sanctuary. And that door was open, and I saw a little tiny bit of light, and I had to walk from that door in total pitch black nothingness. And it took me at least 2 minutes to navigate my way feeling the chairs and trying to do that. And I finally, walking in the dark, I thought, now that I'm trying to get my knees fixed, all I have to do is fall on my face. I slowly made my way. You ever try to come up these things? I went that way through there because there was a little bit of a light there. Finally got in there and I thought, I'm not going to do that again. Because now my eyes were used to the light in there, which is there's an emergency light in there. So I went outside and walked all the way around the church. The Bible says if you don't walk the way God wants you to walk, you're not walking in the light of God's word and you're walking in darkness. I just know. So that was scary to walk. It's a big building when it's all dark and no one's around. So we walk in goodness, verse 9. In goodness. We walk in righteousness. Do what's right. We walk in truth. By the way, that all means here that you're a people of God's word. You do righteousness, goodness, truth, trying to learn what pleases the Lord. All right, when you got married, or just before you got married, when you were engaged, were you not trying to please your future partner? Trying to figure out what their favorite color was? What their favorite food was? What they liked? What kind of chocolate? What kind of... Huh?
Flour.
Remember that? No. Well, you did. Because you were newly in love and you were doing things that, as you look back on it, now that you know the husband you were married to or whatever, you go, I must have been out of my mind. Listen, when you're truly in love with the Lord, you want to have this idea, Lord, I want to please you. That's what he's saying here. If you're really in love with the Lord, you do care about how you act, how you walk. We don't want to ever lose that feeling of, Lord, I want to find out what pleases you. You cannot ever not please God if you walk in love. If you're kind and good to people. I know that, well, you know, some of these, I know, but if you're kind and good and loving and gentle, this pleases God. You see, God is the judge. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, those outside in the world God judges. We see all of these crazy people doing things in the world. God will deal with it. We got to pay attention to our own personal walk. And what pleases God is that when we're kind to one another, we're going to do things as Christians that are going to drive each. I'm going to say stuff. I always do. That's where preachers end up. But look, now that you're in Sunday school with me, you know Jesus didn't mess around in his preaching. And it's going to make, you know, but as long as you're kind and loving and seek to please God in these things, you'll never go wrong. This is how the walk is that God wants. Learn what pleases God. Do we know what pleases God? It's not rocket science in this. Until Jesus returns, you got to figure out, Lord, if that pleases you, I'll do it. Verse 11. Do not participate in the deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. Whoa, that'll get you into trouble. Why do I do the many illustrations I do? Why do I talk about some of the things? Because it is the job. Here it says, Paul says, bring the evil deeds of darkness to light. Some of the things that goes on in this world is shocking. And we become used to these things in the news. I have no idea what to make of this Pizzagate thing. Have you heard about it? See, some of you aren't watching the news. It's associated possibly with child trafficking. My guess is that if we knew how much the elites are covering up what they do, because they have the power and the money to cover it. And I know this is going to sound strange, but I was reading something about back at the turn of the century that this guy that owned a newspaper said, all newspapers are controlled behind the scenes and they only let you know what they want you to know. What if we really truly discovered one day what really goes on among the wealthy and the powerful elite? Money and power can control huge amounts of information. And I think we're in for a shock if some of this stuff should ever leak out. The Bible promises that the great white throne judgment, Jesus said, nothing that is hidden shall not be revealed. Can you imagine if we discovered how the elites, the powerful and the wealthy that had billions of dollars. You know, the president just signed a bill on December the 21st declaring it a national emergency because of human trafficking. They did a story in the news that there are areas of in Middle East that are now once again trafficking in human slavery, selling people as human slaves again. Why don't we hear this in the news media? And it is the job of Christians not to walk like those people, but also to be doers of righteousness. And it says, don't participate, expose them. So every once in a while, I'm going to tell you. Some of the stuff that I have read, I have not told you because I don't know what to think about it. Not everything on the internet does Dave believe. Only the things about the aliens and the lizard creatures and stuff like that. But I do know one thing. Much of our media is not telling us what is actually going on in the world. I'll bet you if I asked Terry, who was an LAPD Hollywood division for a while, I'll bet you Terry could tell us that he saw some strange things. Huh, Terry? Every day. I worry for Ben. He'd be in Las Vegas. Pray for him, he's about to graduate. He came from a strict fundamentalist family. Wait till he does Vegas, baby. Steve Wynn just resigned from the Republican Party because of the accusations against him in terms of sexual predation. Imagine if we really saw what really goes on. And by the way, It is never true. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is false. Jesus said one day all of these things are going to come out, but I hear things from credible reporters who can't get in the mainstream media because it's hushed up. Things that would literally frighten you silly. And they're not letting us know because the wealthy and the powerful can cover up what they do. But listen to me, there's a double standard. They can get away with it, but guess what? You can't. So what are they hiding? But it's the job in preaching God's word and as Christians never to tolerate evil, but expose it, bring it to light. I was looking yesterday and I downloaded the show to my New Testament history class, Pompeii, Herculaneum, 4K. They're coming out with 4K, which is real clear, and the Las Vegas Convention on Electronics, now they're coming out with 8K televisions. And they have this one that showed this new computer, all it is a piece of glass. You can see right through it. And you push the button that you can't see, and there comes up the computer, and it's all glass. Now, I forgot what I was going to say about the illustration. There was an illustration there. Pompeii. 4K. Clear. And you see, this was a Roman town that suddenly Mount Vesuvius went off. Bang! They all got buried, and whoa, if you want to see how the Romans lived, the elite Romans lived, you ain't seen nothing until you've taken a look at Pompeii. All the mosaics, the pictures on the wall, everything. I don't even know if I can show it to seminary students. Imagine, if you think the Romans were bad, you ought to go to some of the investigative reporters of what they've discovered behind the scenes. And we don't know. Why would the president sign a national emergency act on December the 21st because of the increase in human trafficking? And it's got this, that if we catch you in human trafficking, all of your property that you have invested in the United States will be confiscated. So what does the president know? What do they know? I find that very interesting. By the way, you do know that your cell phone records all of your speech. Your cell phone, all of your location. The elites want to know where you are and what you are saying and what you are doing. But I got news for you. Behind the scenes, what are these people doing? Human trafficking? Children? Let me shock you. In 1989, a news article came out in the Washington Times. Not the Washington Post. That's owned by Jeff Bezos, and you'll never get anything honest from the Washington Post. It's spin. The elites control it too much. The Washington Times revealed that there was child trafficking coming from the Bush 1989 White House. Did you know that? I've got the paper. Washington Times, front news. Here's what they found, just to give you a taste of this. A woman in Florida took her child to a park. And she noticed that there were 7 or 8 disheveled little children, dirty clothes, and no supervision except for a guy in a suit They looked like they hadn't been well nourished. This was in Florida in 1989. And so the woman became alarmed. Why would 8 little children be with this guy that looked like something was wrong? You know, you can get a feeling. Ladies, your moms, you can get a feeling. Something's not right. And so she reported it. The police came out, arrested the man, and you can read about this. If you think I'm making this up, it's all in the newspapers. They just don't let you know about it. ABC, NBC, CBS, all of these, CNN. You ain't going to go there. And in Fox News, if you have any hope, good luck with that too. They arrested the man, took the 8 children. Local police tried to find out what was going on. All of a sudden, they got a call from the Central Intelligence Agency. This is none of your business. Let them go. And they found out that there was a group out of the CIA that was connected to the CIA, run by men in black, that were involved in trafficking children, finding out which politicians had their jollies liking little children, and they would be filmed in safe houses in Washington and other places so that the politicians, when a vote is needed... You ever wonder, some of you who are for God, apple pie country and Chevrolet, why some of these politicians, when a vote comes down, you wonder, why in the wide world would they vote the way they do? Well, from what I understand, and I do a lot of research in this area, a phone call is made to some of your politicians saying, hi there, there's a vote in Congress and want to, of course, encourage you to vote that way. And by the way, you really look good in that film at such and such, and then hang up. So you have rogue elements who are in our government. And by the way, a man did a book on that. And I've told my Bible study, it's called The Franklin Cover-Up. I have both books written by John DeCamp, a Nebraska state senator, started tracing this stuff. And in 1984, when Ronald Reagan was reelected, he had a man sing the national anthem. Oh, say can. If you go back to the second Ronald Reagan, 1984, I think it was, where the convention, there's a man singing, last name King. They discovered, remember the home savings and loan debacle for some of you in the 80s? They discovered that this guy was working with Boys Town in Nebraska to traffic in young boys. And a whole book was written on it, and it was traced back to the intelligence agencies of America. And DeCamp was friends with a former head of the CIA. And you know what? And if I said the name, you'd know immediately the name, because he was friends and had trained under this guy that became the head of your CIA. He said, there are some things, John, that you can do nothing about. And if you want to live, back away. That same man that warned him to back off was found dead in the Potomac River. A couple years later, allegedly went out for a walk in the middle of the night. Oh, canoe ride. That's what it was. Why do I tell you this? I think we'd be shocked if we found out what was going on. I think we would be shocked. And I just wonder if that's escaped, come up, what must be in the swamp that hasn't gassed up yet in terms of what's going on. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. How do you expose them, but it's disgraceful to even speak of them? You got to tell people, but be careful what you say, I guess. It's done in secret. By the way, it was done. This is Paul's day. How many think the Roman Empire? You ever heard of Caligula? He's a Boy Scout compared to what's going on, from what I understand. Have you ever heard of the Deutero affair? Not to gross you out. Belgium, where the elite royal families in Europe have been accused and caught trafficking in children. Even to the point where they, listen to this, they worship demonic force and they get power from the demonic force that gives them the power in Europe by torturing and killing children. And these entities, I've listened to people that have been witness to these things, these demonic entities feed off the fear and torture of these precious little kids that they're doing. And if you think I've started smoking an obnoxious weed, you ought to read some of this stuff that investigative reporters, and when they finally get up high enough to the elite, powerful, wealthy families in Europe and the royalty in Europe, something happens. It's stopped. People disappear. Something happens. You ought to hear about England and the English government and what's happened with them trafficking in children in England. How many have ever heard of Prime Minister Heath? Remember him in the 70s? Ooh, you ought to hear what's come out about him. And all of these, even someone that was working with Margaret Thatcher involved in this. So what's your point, Dave? My point is, do not participate, expose it. But here is God's promise. Verse 13. All things will become visible when they are exposed to light. For everything that becomes visible is light. It says, therefore, awake, Christian. Don't sleep. Christ will shine His light on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but very carefully, making the most of the time. Now, some translations have redeeming the time. It means things are so bad. And many spent so much time apart from God that they need to make every effort to do everything they can in the remaining time that we have to please God. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. Verse 10, back in a little bit, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. God cares about our walk. He also knows what goes behind closed doors. And I wonder. What God will reveal when He exposes the stuff that we don't even know about. But Christian, our call is to watch our own walk. Don't look at the other guy. Watch our own walk.